It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Hit that subscribe button if you have not and you are watching there. It's also where you can get full episodes of Take Command, including our full hour 15.
Yeah.
Hour 15 with Jeremy Green, exceptional draft analyst. Logan's like, we got to get this guy on. We've had him on other shows and like, I love talking. Excuse me, talking draft with this dude. And I was like, what am I going to do? Tell you no, Logan? So Jeremy is an ESPN NFL draft analyst. He hosts a radio show out of Asheville, North Carolina, but follows the draft really in-depthly. He actually watches, I think, more tape than anybody that I know. He has a board with 540 guys on it. Logan had to convince him to not do non-priority undrafted free agents. That's how deep his board goes. So this dude spent a lot of time watching guys, but he also spends a lot of time, I think, thinking how they actually fit with the teams. And he's not afraid to buck some trends. And I think the reasons he does that are really, really smart. So I really enjoyed chatting with him. Also, he used to be a stand-up comic and is hilariously entertaining. So without further ado, today's not my beat. Taking a look at the wide receiver group in the upcoming NFL draft, courtesy of Take Command with Jeremy Green. Let's take a look at some other positions here that Washington could both consider in the first round, but maybe there's some depth in this draft as well in terms of, you know, that second round pick at 61 where they sit, fourth, fifth round. They've got a couple sevenths as well. They currently don't have a third rounder, but we know that Adam Peters is not afraid to move around. But wide receiver, I think, is the other one that a lot of folks look at. If certain guys fall to the end of the first round, that could be interesting. But certainly later in the draft, getting someone who is a younger player in this room, along with Terry McLaurin, and then we'll obviously see what Luke McCaffrey does this year. First of all, Jeremy, is there anybody that you think will realistically be available that Washington should consider at 29 at the wide receiver position? And then we can talk about some guys down board.
No. I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm very low on this receiver class because I like Tet McMillan a lot. I'm really glad that he went to his pro day and ran, because if we had lasted two or three more days, I'm pretty sure he was going to be running in the fives with what people were talking about with him. So he runs that 4.54. Now I think he goes in the top 10. Matthew Golden is, to me, a really fast version of what Stephon Diggs was when he was coming out, not the all-pro that he became. I hope he can get to that point where he's that kind of impactful player. I'll tell you a funny stat about Golden that really bothers me. In the last five, back to 2020, so this would be 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drafts. had 28 first round wide receivers that have either gone or are projected to go in the first round. So that encompasses the guys this year.
Right.
And I think it was McMillan, Abuka, Burden, and Golden that they lumped in for this year. I don't think all those guys are going in the first round, but for the premise of the conversation, of the 28 receivers that have gone in the first round the last 6 years, no receiver would have averaged less yards per game than Matthew Golden.
Really?
Now, that seems like a super myopic stat until you look at the list and realize that the Jamar Chases, Justin Jeffersons of the world are up here, and every bust that you've gone, how in the world did you fall in love with that guy, was at the bottom of that list, and they were all right above Matthew Golden. So that is one piece of empirical evidence that it does not a story make, but that is something I think to at least talk about. Abuka, I don't think he should go in the second round. I think he should go in the first. I've got a fringe first round grade on him. I just don't think he does anything well enough that he will be that guy that's up at the top of the board as you're going through that in between days. Going Abuka is the best player on the board, he'll wind up with Tennessee or somebody like that at the top of the second round. Now, where things get interesting to me at wide receiver is as time goes on, you get into the second round spot. I love Trey Harris. Trey Harris is poor man's Rome Odunze, and no one will convince me different. I watch them on tape, and they look exactly the same. I don't think either one of you is blindingly fast, but you do a great job of settling down in space. Trey's a Z now. I think he could ultimately be an X. That is a guy I would be looking for Washington. Problem is, I don't think he's getting by the Giants because he was the quarterback for Malik Nabers in high school. And I have a feeling Malik's going to be going, hey, I need somebody that plays on the outside so I can play in the slot. But then you get into the Alec Ayu Manor, who, Logan, you and I have talked about. Yeah. I love Ayu Manor. I know he's a little stiff, but I think that comes from – look, that's a kid that went through the whole – I don't even know what to call it. It's like the Canadian exchange program where a kid is a really good high school prospect and they place him at a high school in America. And then he went to Stanford, and I'm not sure he got the best tutelage at Stanford. And so I think he's going to go into an NFL program and he's going to get a legit big boy NFL wide receivers coach that is going to work with him and really show him nuance. Because nuance is the one thing he doesn't have the nuance. He has a really high football IQ. When I watch him, he knows where to settle down. And he's always on the same page with the quarterback, even the quarterback wasn't all that good. But then you get into the more, they're very athletically toolsy, but maybe the tape is inconsistent. I'm looking at Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, Torrey Horton out of Colorado State. And then it gets very slotty from there. Jalen Noel and Jalen Royals and Jack Betch.
Dude, yeah.
I like all of those guys.
Yeah, they're all good football players, but this kind of goes back to the edge rusher conversation where it's like stylistically, like what are you looking for? And I do think like you kind of alluded to it well there. There's only a couple guys that I think are like true outside players. You mentioned Trey Harris, you mentioned Higgins. I think both those guys fall in that category. Alec Ayu Manor, I think
careful
that's
with Higgins.
But I agree. I think that's 100% right. I think he played slot at Iowa State. I think he's a better slot. I think his utilization is like Drake London at the NFL level. However, I do think the physicality is there that if a team was like, we want you to play off ball Z, like, is that his best position? No, but can he physically do it? I think yes. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like in this, if you're saying like, can you do something? I look at I love Jalen Noel. Like, he's one of my favorite players in the entire draft. But he can't play outside. You know what I'm saying? He can't play outside. Jack Betch, love his film. I don't want him playing outside ever. You know what I'm saying? So like in this world where people need to find the triangle player for your band, right? Like there's only three dudes you mentioned there in the second round that I think are even close to that opportunity. Does that make sense what I'm saying, Jeremy?
Very, very much so. So the thing I would say on Higgins is, so one of my favorite comedians growing up was Mitch Hedberg. And
it's
he
so
had this
funny
joke about shifts of he was a comedian and people would ask him if he could act. And he said, you don't look at chefs and go, but can you farm? I look at Jaden Higgins kind of the same way.
Right.
Yeah. I know he can play big, hyper mismatch slot. By the way, big slot is probably the catchphrase of the draft for me because there's so many of them. Jack Betts that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That is Julian Edelman. If Julian Edelman had rolled around in that ooze that made the turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And once I say that, you'll never unsee it.
That's true.
I know Jaden Higgins can play that slot role as the big slot, and he's a matchup nightmare. I am curious how much, and this is a question that if I was a scout and I got these guys in the room for those 15-minute interviews at the combine, I want to know your honest-to-God answer to this. How big is your plate? So when I get you into the building, I know you can play big slot. Well, we've got Deebo Samuel that's going to play out of the slot, but he doesn't always play out of the slot. He can play out wide too. So on those snaps that Deebo plays out wide and you play in the slot, are you going to be okay if some of your reps in practice week to week are out playing the Z, not necessarily for in the game, because I'm trying to teach you to be the Z. Are you okay running with the twos in those limited practice settings? Because this is helping my backup quarterback. It's also helping you get acclimated to playing Z. Is your plate big enough to take your big slot role in year one and add a I'm learning to play Z in my spare time? Your plate big enough for that? Because if it is, I'm all the way in. If it's not, I'm still in. I'm just not in on playing you on the outside. Yes. Does that make sense?
Dude, I think that's exactly right.
I wonder,
frankly,
if they had that conversation with Luke McCaffrey last year and then how that actually went in practice.
Right. Yeah. It's a great point. It's
look, Logan can attest to this. Just being an NFL football player and doing your job is 100% a full-time job. And it's not a 9-to-5. It is a 24 hours of your day, keeping your body right, keeping your diet right, keeping your workouts right, not overexerting yourself. And so to ask a guy to not only play the position I drafted you for, the thing you can do right now, but also to add another job. This is one of the things I'm very curious about with Travis Hunter. How do you acclimate the practice time?
Totally. All right,
so he's the number one corner. Well, the number one corner, iron sharpens iron. If he's a receiver too, then who practices him? That's a totally different topic. But I think it's in the same vein of what I'm talking about here. There are more X guys as you go down the line.
As you go down, right.
They're developmental. Like I look at Dante Thornton.
Yeah.
I think he has all of the raw talent you could ever want. He's just raw. He's raw, and you're going to have to be patient with him. You're going to have to not do what the New York Giants did with Jalin Hyatt, which is go, hey, you run fast, but can you do anything else? You can run 9 routes with the best of them, and they never taught him how to do anything else. And so now he just sits on the depth chart, and every year people go, hey, is this the year he learned to do other stuff? Probably not.
Which, by the way, there was a great quote from Adam Peters the other day. Logan, it made me think of the conversation we had about has your career developed or how your career developed the other day on the show, where he apparently, when John Bates was considering coming back, they told him, like, hey, man, we love what you do as this blocking Y tight end, and we think you're one of the best in the league. But, like, if that's all you are, that's not good enough for us. Like, we want to help you become a bigger, right. Like, we think there's more pass game upside. We want to develop you. And we know that Peters and Quinn and this staff is big on player development, which is why a guy like Thornton is so fascinating to me, because of course he is. He runs like a 4.3 and he's 6'5". And like, there's worse things you can have in your fourth, fifth receiver than a guy who's 6'5" and runs a 4.3 as a starting point. And by the way, hopefully he can tackle enough to have him run real fast on special teams as well in the meantime. But I think that's the interesting thing of, like, you know, some of these, you know, we talk about the traits thing with the edge rushers too. Like, that's important down the list. Like, let's just take a flyer on a guy in the 7th round versus at 29, I want a guy who I know can play football and do a bunch of stuff because I need him to play right now.
It's funny for me that you said that way. I don't know that I've told Logan this at any point as we've talked a lot about the draft throughout the process. So what you just said is how I do my grades. So my first round grades are guys that I know for a fact can walk in day one and do what it is that I'm drafting them to do, and they have potential to get better. Second round guys, I feel pretty sure you can do what I'm asking you to do, or I'm not sure you're going to get better. So like Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle. I think his AARP card is already in the mail because I think he and I went to high school at the same time.
He's old. He's an old man.
I'm 38, and I'm pretty sure we played against each other. So I don't think he's going to get any better. That makes him a second rounder. Even though the tape says first round, he's got that yeah, but. And then basically I do that as we tear down of every time a layer peels from that onion of you're going to take some development. I'm not sure there's a lot of upside. And you go down that list, I just keep dropping you. Every time a layer comes back, you drop around.
Mm. It's smart. I think it's the way you should do it. I think a lot of teams, I think a lot of national media people forget that there is risk. And the first round is about mitigating risk, right? So, like, for example, I've had so many fans ask me about Luther Burton from Missouri, right? And the kind of one big year of production in 2023, the down year in 2024. There's some, you know, we talked about a little bit on the show, like a little bit of character, like swirling, and who knows how accurate that is. But I look at that and I say, like, to me, he's become a second round player because you're no longer managing the risk. It's become too risky. You got him in the third round?
Three.
Dude, I love it, man. But like, because again, like that, but that's the thing that fans don't understand is like, I'm making an investment with this first round pick, which objectively has value. If I pick a player, it has to be valuable. And if I trade for it, it's got tremendous value, right? If I trade the asset for another player in the NFL. So that's where I think that's the right way to do it. But every year I'm like, this player that this team is taking, I think Jalen Walker is a really interesting example of this. There's a lot of risk associated with him because of the uncertainty of what he can be. And so I think that's where I think fans forget that NFL teams are actually making the decision and developing this person and understanding the trajectory in a way that that national media people don't have to worry about the same way, I think.
The thing I will say about national media people is, A, it's unfair to ask some of these guys that are not draft guys to do the same stuff that draft guys do. There are some of these entities that just – they ask their on-air talents. Just, hey, what does your mock draft look like? Your average commentator doesn't have the nuance of – like Tampa Bay, I've had blood come out of my ears multiple times of Tampa Bay takes a corner in the first round. Yeah, but they play off ball zone and you just took a press man corner.
Right.
And then your excuse is, well, I'm sure Todd Bowles would like to play more press man corner. You sure about that, bro? Because he's never done it ever across three teams. Never done it. So I don't think he wants to. That's just a rant for another day. Sorry. I do that. I apologize. I want to go to the Luther Burden thing that you just said.
Yeah.
So I love that you brought up Jalen Walker and Luther Burden together. So the character issues with Luther Burden, can confirm. His attitude last year, I think it's so funny how people look at him. People look at him and say, well, the offense got worse and the quarterback play got worse, even though the quarterback's borderline draftable in this class. Everything got worse. So you had a top 10 to 15 tackle on this team. You lost Cody Schrader. That was it. That was your high end running back from last year. Why do you get a pass on the offense got worse? Why do you not get any of the – none of that gravy hits his taters? So, and I'll never understand
why. So let me say this to you real quick, and I think you'll agree with this. Like, when you look at Tetro McMillan, the quarterback there played objectively worse than he did last year. But Tetro McMillan –
terrible scheme fit.
Yeah,
but the coach changed. Jed Fish left and went to Washington. In came Brent Brannon, and he just – he didn't fit it as well.
And so – but Tetro McMillan's stats are the same, if not better this year, right? Like he's the same player because he's a dominant perimeter player in this draft, for example. And so that's
he bulked up in two games and people really narrow in on he had two huge games and the rest of it was just really good. You also got to remember he had a 5'9 quarterback that was playing in badly. But Jed Fish set that offense up to succeed with Noah Fifita and to succeed with Tet McMillan. Brent didn't do that. Now, a year from now, I think he's a great coach. But I don't hold that against Ted.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off
there. No, but I'm saying I think it's an interesting point of comparison, him to Luther Burden, right? There's been no decline in production with Tetro McMillan, but Luther Burden, like you're saying, has seen a noticeable difference in production. And when you're saying you're a top 10 pick, right, you should – I don't want to say you should be scheme-proof because nobody's scheme-proof, but you should still be – you should still look – somewhat dominant. And that's the thing that I get with Luther Burden that's a little bit hard to negotiate.
Luther Burden for me is what I liked about you mentioning Jalen Walker there. they have kind of the same problem of, I'm not doubting your natural athleticism or your natural God-given ability. What I'm doubting is your role and how I'm, for Burden, how I'm going to manufacture your touches, because you're not a good route runner. Mm. You're basically a glorified version of really poor man's Deebo Samuel, maybe slightly wealthier man's version of Laviska Shenault. But can you develop into an actual route runner? Your attitude is kind of a big deal in that, because I'm going to have to teach you something that you should learn 5 years ago. So now it's not just your, what we were talking about, learning your job, doing your job. You're not just doing your job. I'm having to teach you how to do your job as well. And you've got to have the commitment and the drive and the want to be better. And all I ever hear are people make excuses for Luther Burden of, well, the offense got worse. I think he's a big reason the offense got worse, because it's hard to get him the ball. He's not a big guy. He's not a good route runner. He really only wins with foot speed and straight line burst, usually coming out of the slot because a guy can't get his hands on him. He gets a step on him. He's not really all that open. That's on you. I can't make you more open. You have to get open. That's your part of the job. I have to get you the ball, but you have to get open in a space where I have a throwing window to get you the ball. And he does a terrible job of that. Every time I watch Luther Burden, he goes down about 10 spots for me. By the end of this, I'm going to have him as a priority undrafted free agent.
If you want the full episode of Take Command, it's available now wherever you get your podcasts. Full episode on YouTube at the Team 980, or of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the free Odyssey app. When we get back, it is time for our weekly installment of Never Read the Comments.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too. At the team 980, extra relevant this segment, Anthony, because it's his time to dive into the comments section. Which also, by the way, love stuff like this in the live chat right now. Someone literally said something. Someone else goes, "Did you miss the earlier discussion?" Yeah, but I don't care. It's my opinion.
Wow.
Why people use YouTube like it's a message board, like it's Reddit, like it's something else, as opposed to like when I want answers to things, when I want to learn something, that's when I go to YouTube because I am searching for things. When I want to give my opinion on something randomly, I go, you know, I might leave a comment on an Instagram post or something like that, but it's wild to me. But thanks for watching, guy. And that's definitely a guy because only a man would do that. Anthony hit the button.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, so here's how this works. There is a radio show that you're watching right now, live on YouTube at the Team 980, if you're watching or listening to that. That's obviously on video, and then we cut it up into itsy bitsy pieces, the segments of the show. We put it online on YouTube, both at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman, which is where most of these comments come from, and we see what you have to say. And Anthony, you missed this last week when you were out, but someone commented on the Washington Nationals quiz that we did. Is that guy a Washington National? And for some reason said very nice things about Grant Paulson.
Nice.
Which is great for Grant, but I was like, buddy, this is all very very nice and we're so glad you enjoyed the show, but Grant wasn't as part of this segment.
Nah, he wasn't.
Nope, he wasn't. And then good for Browning Bridges, who's the person who did that. And he commented on last week's Never Read the Comments. Thinking back, I totally remember half listening, pretty toasty all around. I don't think that was reference to the temperature. I feel that perhaps is a reference to his state of mind.
Yeah.
Maybe he and Big Tony had gotten together. If you listen, you listen. If you know, you know. And for some reason thought it was Grant. It was on my phone and small. But as a regular viewer, I'm stoked to have been called out for the boneheaded move. Apologies, Grant and Toby. Keep doing what you do. And Craig, kudos, bro. So, Browning Bridges.
Nice.
Thank you for watching and listening regularly. Thank you for being willing to have fun with yourself when you made a fool of yourself. Because the best thing to do in that situation is laugh and move on like an adult. And you get another shout out for doing just that. Also in the amuse-bouche, just kind of dipping our toe in the water before we dive into the big topics of the week category, Anthony. We had multiple discussions of the Breakers Hotel down in Florida, where the owners' meetings was happening,
yep,
because of how nice it is. And apparently, Nothing But the Blues says the Breakers has a great weekend buffet and you don't have to stay there to enjoy it. So if you ever find yourself in Palm Beach and want some of the Breakers experience, the NFL owners' hotel of choice down there, you can stay at the Holiday Inn or the Hilton or the whatever insert brand Marriott that wants to sponsor the show here across the street and then go get the buffet.
That is insane. Where's this at again?
It's in Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah, I've never been to Palm Beach, but best believe I go there, I will be taking full advantage of it.
You love a buffet, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's not a lot not to like. That's what I have to say about that. All right, we'll get to some of the football comments in a second. But one of the big topics of the week, obviously, Anthony, was the Maryland coaching situation, including the hiring, eventually, of Buzz Williams. And chose to pick out some comments on that versus diving back in for the 800th time to the Kevin Willard part of the equation because, well, he's gone and we've moved on at this point. Maryland fans seem mostly excited. Bob Murray, 56-71. I have very good feelings about Buzz as the new coach. The testimony of his former players and his record is stunning. Again, these are too stupid to make up. I'm reading the screen name as it presents itself, Anthony. HamLover17 says, you like ham? You ham guy?
I do not like ham.
Oh, all right. Well, HamLover17, I'd love to meet HamLover16. HamLover17 says, I feel like everyone is down on this hire, but this program is a pile of ash right now. I'm happy to have an experienced bridge guy like Buzz to rebuild our program. And that's kind of where I think I am with this, where I look at Buzz Williams and I do not have a misgiving about who he is. I am not like, this is the next Gary Williams who's going to be here for 20 years. I also don't think that he is Todd Golden, the Florida coach, who is like the next young up-and-comer who is going to just be an amazing coach who takes you to a Final Four. And I'm not saying Buzz can't. Buzz isn't a bad coach. Buzz is a very solid coach. But I think Buzz is a program builder. I think in a time where Maryland had very limited options because of their timeline, and in some ways the success of Kevin Willard actually hurt this program this year because they wound up making it to that second weekend after a lot of the coaching cycle had already turned over. And you add that onto their AD situation and some of the fights that Willard was having that other coaches certainly would have known about, whether Willard made them public or not, with the athletic department, which every Maryland insider we talked to said it's an open secret that Maryland's athletic department is a problem in terms of how they've treated the basketball program over the years and the resources that they don't have to compete at the highest level, even since they moved to the Big Ten. Like, I think Buzz is the right guy for the right time. Now, as those words come out of my mouth, I have horrifying flashbacks to saying, similar things about Ron Rivera, where I'm like, I don't know, maybe he's the right guy at the right time. And in some ways, Ron helped guide the ship through the sale and that kind of stuff. But I also looked at Ron's record in Carolina and was like, when Cam Newton was the best player in the world, like, he took him to a Super Bowl and that was great, but I actually don't think this guy's that great of a coach. I think Buzz is better coaching college basketball than Ron Rivera was NFL football. But I do think that sometimes institutional knowledge and the ability to be self-sufficient is important. And the other thing with Rivera was, not again, sometimes I feel bad because I feel like I'm bringing up old stuff, but like Rivera took on the GM stuff and he had never done that before. Buzz, he doesn't, like, the fact that there's no AD doesn't matter to him. Like, he is going to be very self-contained within his own thing. And no matter what's going on around him, he's probably going to reach the same level of success that he has earlier. And if he has a good relationship with the AD and that person gives him some of the stuff that he may not have even had in other places, or for whatever reason he can find a little bit more here, get lucky even on a recruit or two, maybe he's even better than he's ever been before. What I think is interesting is, Anthony, the other comments that found their way to our comments section. Zach Kent, 2711, who is a Texas A&M fan, says, if you like winning 20 games but never having success in March, he's your guy. Buzz Williams has an offense that doesn't work, won't get you past the first or second round, can't recruit and evaluate shooters, doesn't even have the offense for three-point shooters. I'm not sad at all. If his season sucked next year, we were going to can him anyway. Sounds like a guy who doesn't care that the coach is gone, right? Just no bitterness in that comment at all.
But I said, that's harsh, man. Went the last 3 years, didn't they?
Yeah, which is exactly what he did everywhere else. Here's Buzz Williams' track record. Let me pull this up real quick just so I can get the exact the exactness of this. So at Marquette, he took over in 2008-2009, went to the second round, and this is after 1 year at New Orleans. So 1 year in New Orleans, then goes to Marquette. Round of 32, he lost in the first round the next year. Back-to-back Sweet 16s, Elite 8 in 2012-2013. Then 2013-14, they missed the tournament, and he bounces for Virginia Tech. First year, misses the tournament. Everything's a disaster because he inherited a bit of a disaster. NIT next year, and then he goes first round exit, Sweet 16 by his fifth year. And again, that's under the old rules where it took multiple years to get your guys in and transfers had to sit out a year and the whole deal. At A&M, he goes, misses the tournament, NIT, first round, second round. And now he's gone to Maryland. So at every single school he's ever been to, their trajectory has generally gone up. At Marquette, there's the one bad year at the end. Virginia Tech, he leaves on a high. A&M, he kind of leaves on a high. Last 2 years, he was the same, but he was better in the regular season this year than he was the year before. They finished fifth in a loaded SEC.
Yeah, I just think people hate. People hate.
They do. Hate away. Not your problem anymore. Doesn't stop you from chiming in. It's always my favorite, is the chasers. Can't help but going on someone else's lawn and yelling about whatever. I lost that analogy midway through, but.
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going, but yeah. I'm here with you now.
Yeah. I was trying to complete it in my head and never got there. If you're here with me now, Anthony, we're going to leave ourselves here and we're going to go on to the next topic.
Yes, sir.
Next topic, and never read the comments. The tush push. Should it be banned? Should it not? That was the question NFL owners considered this week. They ultimately decided to, ironically, push the decision until May. They need 24 votes to ban it. 16-16 was the vote currently. So can the ban side, whether you consider that the yays or the nays, can they push it across the line, no pun intended, in May? J.W. Carroll 6378 says, if we're banning the tush push because piles of bodies are deemed dangerous, then ban quarterback sneaks. It's an obvious formation that isn't any less chaotic. I agree with the option of banning guys from pushing the ball carrier, which is what I said, which is why he says that he agrees. Easy does it 74. That's my thoughts as well. Their offensive line is basically in the neutral zone pre-snap, and the defense doesn't really have much they can do to legally stop it, in my opinion. And I think if we can just be honest about the fact that we're taking away something that is very advantageous for the offense in a sport where the rules generally favor the offense, in an effort to give the defense a little bit more of a chance, then we can have that discussion and make that argument. But I was listening to New Heights today, which, of course, is the Kelce Brothers podcast, Anthony. And there's a particular expert on the tush push on that show, because Jason Kelce was the guy at the bottom of the pile for multiple years. And basically, the analogy he used in terms of the strain, I'm not going to repeat on this show. I'll tell you in the break. But he said it's not nearly as dangerous as, like, you're blocking on a run play and you get rolled up on. Like, that's not what happens. It's just a lot of strain on a play. But, and he's like, it's not fun, but I never felt like I was at some huge injury risk. Piles of bodies happen all the time. I'm not going to get rolled up on. You just have to keep your legs going and grinding, and it's really hard to, like, execute. But the Eagles coach it really well. They do it better than everyone else. And their quarterback is a bulldozer. And so they're also, if you ban the tush push and make everybody quarterback sneak, the Eagles will probably be better at quarterback sneak than everyone else too, as long as Jalen Hurts and Jeff Stoutland, their offensive line coach, are there. So I think what you're trying to do is ask, is this too much of an advantage for offenses in general, as opposed to specifically punishing the Eagles? And if the answer is yes, then I'm fine with banning it. But let's just be honest about why we're banning it, which isn't injury concern, because that's silly. Unless people are going to try to start doing crazy stuff to stop it that puts people at risk. Or that it's a rugby play, which just tells me you've never watched rugby, because people who actually play rugby look at it and go, that's nothing like rugby.
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to be an ongoing discussion. Like, I don't think there'll ever be a resolution for it. I mean, obviously there will be. Like, they're either going to ban it or not, but I don't think it's going to get banned. Like,
if they don't ban it this year, I want a moratorium on trying to ban it for 3 years, barring some catastrophic injury, yeah, change in data. And I just don't want to have this discussion every offseason. It's stupid. Robert Borgensen 1821 says, I'm no Philly fan, but we should not be banning plays because one team has perfected it. Every team has the opportunity to do just that by bringing in the correct personnel and deciding or dedicating a ton of practice time to it. Other areas of your team will suffer because you dedicate so many resources to it, but that's the trade-off. Other teams can do it if they want. That simple. Now, if it breaks the game because every team is doing it, there's discussion to be had. Right now, it's just teams ticked off because the Eagles do it better than them. And I think there's some truth to that. I definitely think that there's some teams that are just like, we don't want to have to deal with this. The Eagles are the best team in football. How do we cut them off at the knees? And I think that there probably is some of that. Again, I slightly favor banning it because I just think it's so, even though the Eagles are better than everyone else, it is a higher percentage play than a regular quarterback sneak. And I think regular quarterback sneaks are fine. Other than that, I think everyone's just telling on themselves and making stuff up to try to undercut the Eagles. But I at least am trying to be honest about the reasons why. And some people, I think a lot of people try to agree with me or tend to agree with me on that.
Think so.
All right, a couple more on the way out here. Rule changes in general. We talked about some of them, including Anthony, the Hawkeye system, which is now going to be used by the NFL to determine first downs. And I was talking about, like, I wonder if there'll be chips in the ball and this whole thing. And apparently, Anthony, the answer is no. Appreciate this clarification, I'm going to call it, from D Sports Whiz. Craig got tricked by the NFL story on Hawkeye in the same way the league hopes to trick fans. They will not use the technology to spot the ball. They will only use it to measure after the refs place the ball. Why can't they just fix what fans hate? No one was complaining about the poor chain gang. I agree using a chip in the ball freeze frame video would be closer to what we need. Which I think opens two discussions. One, then why are they doing this? And two, is the chip in the ball, I almost called it my way, but that's, I didn't invent chips or multi-camera freeze frame systems. I just said it. So the chip in the ball system better. That part's easy. Of course it would be better. If they have the ability to freeze frame, oh, the knee is down here. At this point, there's a chip in the ball that says the ball should be here. The first line down line is here, not first down or first down. That seems fairly straightforward and fairly idiotic if they don't do it. And maybe you put the chip in the middle of the ball, and that way you know, like, the chip is here, thus the ball. But I guess the angle of the ball, like, it is more complicated, I think, the chip thing than I'd want to make it. But we're also in 2025. The stuff we can do with technology is insane. And I find it a really, really hard thing to imagine that we can't possibly figure that out. What this is going to eliminate, though, is apparently about 40-ish seconds per time that the chain gang would come out. This whole process is going to take like 30 seconds. And there will be a replay on the broadcast and in the stadium in the same way that there is in tennis. If you watch a tennis match and they've got the in-out stuff and everyone's like, and they do the whole thing and then they go, they like, oh, yay, depending on if they like the call or not. But apparently they're going to spot the ball and then use the Hawkeye system from there. So we're still possibly going to have the situation that we had in Buffalo last year where the bad spot is the issue. And I think that's the thing that, like, is really frustrating. It's like the issue isn't necessarily once you spot the ball, can we tell with the chains or do we need this technology? We don't need like the chains were fine for that. They just take forever. And so if we're speeding up the game, I am for that. The problem is we got a bunch of relatively old men compared to the athletes out there in an incredibly fast moving game trying to accurately spot the ball. And sometimes they really badly miss that. And we need to fix that part of the whole process.
Yeah, that's all I could think about. The refs misspotting the ball just like they did when the Commanders played the Steelers because they end up
losing. That was crazy. That was when they had like three in a row, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Awful. So let's fix that. All right, wrapping up here with some fun at the end. First of all, a great eye by Robert Brown 9107. Anthony commented on one of our Take Command episodes that I recorded from home. We often do those in the morning, so frequently at the beginning of Take Command, you will see me downing the end of my coffee, and then hopefully the episode gets better as we go and the caffeine kicks in. But someone goes, Robert goes, nice Polish cup. It truly is a Polish pottery cup. Rachel got those when she visited Poland years ago. Like actual Polish, not Polish style. Those were purchased in Poland.
That is dope.
So, Robert, good eye out of you. More feedback, Anthony, on is that guy a Washington National? from Tariq McDaniels, 7386. Hold on, I need to be able to read this and see your face on the screen at the same time. Anthony is hilarious. To which I responded, most of the time, not even on purpose. Which Tariq says, that's what makes it funny. He really thinks he's right.
I know. It's bad.
If you...
I really thought I was killing it.
You certainly did. If you have not watched the full segment... And this one's worth watching. Sometimes you just got to find the podcast. I mean, it's still funny in audio. Anthony, I'm not going to lie. I very rarely, especially right after the show, if there's something I want to see how we did, like I'll review tape of us. I'll go back and watch something or listen to something. I listened to that segment as soon as I got in my car.
Yeah.
I could not wait to listen back to that because that is one of the funniest things we've ever done. Is that guy a Washington National? Find it on YouTube. It's so worth your time. And then, speaking of something that's worth your time, even though it's going to take a lot more time to watch, the conversation that I had with Sam Fortier has now been up, where folks have been able to chime in on it, about ownership in sports and whether or not it's the X factor when it comes to creating a winning franchise. And Chad Fugleroy, which sounds like one of those names that you're not supposed to say out loud, but Chad Fugleroy, 2015, says... This was a very insightful and thoughtful discussion. It's unfortunate you're a Washington reporter, but absolute respect. He's a Cowboys fan.
He's
sad that he just had to be like, you Washington guys are very smart. And I think he wants us to talk about his team more because then he could have smart people talking about his team. Us. Not to say that though, is it me? I'm not trying to start a media war with the Dallas folks. That you got smart people down there talking about your team. You don't necessarily have the smartest guy running your team, but that is what it is. And that's Never Read the Comments. That's how it goes down. You can leave your comment on YouTube at Craig Hoffman, also at the Team 980. We take a look at both on Take Command and, of course, episodes here of The Hoffman Show. Also starting to put on YouTube, by the way, some of our big interviews from Chris Russell and Kevin Sheehan. I know Sheehan's show will be streaming live here very shortly, so now is as good a time as ever to subscribe at the Team 980 for us on the old YouTube, if you so desire. Of course, we all have our podcasts as well. You can search The Hoffman Show in your favorite podcast app. That way, if you miss any part, you can catch up at your leisure. When we get back here on the Team 980, Dave Johnson joins us from the broadcast booth over at Capital One Arena, head of Wizards and Magic tonight.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.